Start remembering what you hear.
Well, hi out there, and welcome to...
And now...
What's up? Welcome to the Capoeira Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, also known as Monitora Esperta from Capoeira Batsuki, Pasadena. I just wanted to say hi and checking in. Yes, it has been a really long time since I last put out something. It's been more than 6 months. Sorry about that. Life was just crazy. I've just been dealing with a lot of stuff, and finally I decided to go back and have a bunch of stuff that I've had in my memory in the computer, and I decided to start editing it. So we will have new episodes, but instead of every 2 weeks, it will be back to a month, just because it's just easier that way. I can balance everything out. So hopefully you'll like that. But before we get on with our newest episode and interview, let's take a look at some events coming around your way. All right, July 14th to 17th in Chicago, Illinois, Jingarchi, Chicago under Mestre Meriza, July 14th to 17th. July 28th to 30th in San Diego, Capoeira Luanda will be having their Bachizado. July 28th to 31st, Grupo Age Vancouver, Canada will be having their Bachizado. And on July 25th to July 30th, Capoeira Brazil in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, under Mestre Paulinho Sabia, will be having his Bachizado. So hopefully, if you're around any of those areas, you can check those out. So today's episode was actually taped earlier this year in January with Instrutora Sonora from Habuja Haya Capoeira, and it was about a week or two after our last Capoeira exchange in L.A., and I met her briefly there, and I feel like she really made quite an impression of in terms of making her presence known, whether it was playing instruments or playing in the Hoada. So when she was brought back down to teach a few workshops, I really wanted to just jump on the chance to get an interview with her, and like I said, it's been over 6 months since I last picked up the footage, and in editing and listening to this episode, I really forgot how much I learned from interviewing and doing these episodes, and I loved hearing her experiences, and I think it's really a testament as to what Capoeira does for you, depending on how much of yourself and work you put into it. And I think there's something in it for really everyone in this episode, whether you're a student or you're a teacher or you're someone that's maybe just traveling and just exploring other schools. I think that this was just a really fun episode that I edited. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy it. So here it is, the Capoeira Podcast, Episode 6, the Sonora episode.
Hello. My name is Senora Carrot. My real name is Rita. I'm from Portugal. I'm from Group Habu Jahaya of Mestre Balu, and I have been training capoeira for 15 years.
How did you get your name?
I was just eating a lot of carrots before and after training, because I thought it was good for a diet. I was just 14 or 15, so I didn't know much about nutrition. So I was just eating carrots. And yeah, one day the master was going to say my name, oh, Rita, and then I was eating a carrot, and I was carrot, and then it sticked really well, carrot. Yeah, before they tried to call me ballerina.
You didn't like it.
I hope this name doesn't stick. And even sooner, it's okay. Yeah, and it was good because in Capoeira Exchange, I've met for the first time a Senora, a real one, a ginger Senora. Yeah. I am nervous in the beginning.
Talk about, getting to know you, like, where you came from, like, how did you find Capoeira, like, learning, it's definitely about teaching disabled people, and then, like, your journey here, what you've done, like, differences between Europe and LA and East Coast and West Coast of the United States and stuff like that, and what you've learned here. What was the first school that you discovered?
It was near where I lived. Mm-hmm. The name is Zimbra, and it started, was my brother. He was like, I wanted to do capoeira, it's really cool. And I was like, I have no idea what that is, because I have been doing ballet and gymnastics, and I have stopped for 1 year. And he was like, let's try it. I want to go there. And then my brother never went there. I went to see a class. And then I started training.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother always said, oh, I'm going there. I'm going to the class. But he wouldn't. And it was just guys training. So I always tried. I was like 14. So when I was 14, 15, 16, I was always trying to bring my friends, my female friends to come and train. But they wouldn't last. So at some point, I just had to, well, accept it. Well, maybe for a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be me. And but then we had some women as well joining the class. But for a long time, it was me and some other men. And yeah, in the beginning, people were like, oh, you're the ballerina, gymnastics, capoeirista. And I really felt really strongly that I want to disconnect from that.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm doing this. I want to be doing, I want to be seen as, I want to be doing capoeira. But for a long time, yeah, they would call me, oh, ballerina, or, yeah. But then I continued to train, and, well, my struggle, I would say, just the hoda moment, the bits where I needed to sing and play for me, well, just play for me took a long time, because I felt very self-conscious of people
That's really so looking common. At me.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody in class was making me feel really comfortable. Oh, go, it's just easy. No, but everybody, and of course, everybody wants you to do your best. Uh-huh. But for a long time, when it was the harder on the training, it would be okay. But if it was the harder with the whole group, it took me a while. But then, yeah, I think I find out this freedom that I wasn't feeling in dancing. Because dancing, I was feeling a bit frustrated about it, and in capoeira I was like, oh, I can improvise and I can sing. And well, talking a little bit about myself, I find out about capoeira when I was about 14 years old, and I lived in Portugal.
What year was that?
That was in 2001.
2001.
Yeah, I lived near the beach, so it was a really nice, like, going out from the class, going to the beach. And I had a good, really nice environment of capoeira in there, because before I was into dancing, and then I find out that's not what I really wanted to do. And when I started doing capoeira, I find out that I could have fun, because I was doing ballet before, gymnastics of competition, and it was really, I felt a lot of pressure. And when I started doing capoeira, I was like, oh, this is nice, I can, you know, relax here, sing, play. So in the beginning, my family wasn't really supportive about capoeira, but then
so Habujahaya is the school that you're originally from. What style was your first school like?
It was contemporary capoeira from a line of regional. So when I start training with the Habujahaya in 98, it was kind of the same style, but Mestre Balu has his own aesthetics and his very specific methods of teaching. He's originally from Brasilia, but he moved to do shows to Europe, and he ended up staying in Tenerife first, which is an island. This was in 98, and that's where he started developing the group Habujahaya. And for me, it was really a challenge to specially have a method of teaching that's amazing for me, and to learn from the basics, again, after 7 years of capoeira. With one school. Yeah. And it was similar. Of course, a queixada is a queixada.
Yes. Jinga is a jinga. But that's what I like to find out about different schools. Is, like, you know, when you went to the exchange, which is where I first met you, was the exchange. Even though none of us wore abadas with, like, the logo or, like, a shirt, I can kind of tell what school people were from by the way they jingled, because there are very pronounced like vocabulary, like, or work, not words, but moves that different schools do. And I think whenever I interview new people, I always like to ask, so, like, what do you think are some pronounced Habujahaya, like, techniques or like kicks that you may do?
Well, Habujahaya.
Yes.
But I would say we have a base, a technical base of the kicks. There are, how to say, we work a lot on that. And on, but the main, for me, the main idea from Mestre Balu that I find really interesting and that's what I'm trying now to find, even now that I'm teaching my students, is that everything has to start from improvisation mm-hmm. and from the instinct, because capoeira, he says, for him it's a fight,
mm-hmm.
it's a game, but we have to be aware mm-hmm. of the danger as well, that is a fight. But the idea is that people are enjoying this play, this fight, so you have to start by giving them this, and for yourself to feel this, that it's joy, that it's play, that it's improvisational. And how then from there, how are you going to teach the technique, the yeah. acrobatics, the fight? How do you put it mm-hmm. in your game and to understand it? And also he's very, every time he sees us play, he would come and say something to improve, but always in a sense of giving us, how do you say,
take your time, this is going to be it.
Yeah, yeah. What is the word? Initiative?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the master really believes in initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, I feel in the beginning where I was doing capoeira, if you were like getting in too much in the roda, or, you know, people might push you back, like you're doing too much, you're yeah. trying to appear.
Yeah.
With Master Balu, he's like, go, throw yourself out there. If it's too much, I'll let you know if it might be.
Uh-huh.
For example, when I started going into another capoeira school, he was like, be careful where you go so you don't get hurt. Of course, everybody will be nice with you, but you have to be aware. And that's something, I will not be there with you to hold your hand and yeah. say, go out. So you yourself, you have to get in the space, see the people, see the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go. But then always,
place yourself in there.
Yeah, but always from a perspective of initiative. Think that you're going to play, mm-hmm. you're going to sing, you're going to teach, and you are going to be alone in this. And yeah. that was the point after 8 or 9 years of capoeira that I think, yeah, I have to start seeing myself as individual, independent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have, every time I have a question, a doubt, I have my group to consult, people that are teaching or other people that I met, of course, that other groups
mm-hmm.
that can help me. But it's always important that I try to do things and first thing by myself, which sounds like a cliche, but sometimes I feel in capoeira we are a lot, oh, master will help me with this, or my teacher, mm-hmm. or but first, how can you also help them, you know, by being proactive, and you learn things first and then show, oh, is it like this? I'm doing it like this. What do you think? Oh, you know, I find a new way of doing queixada.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and show, why not? You know, yeah. why not to put yourself yeah. out there? Well, I was really curious about capoeira in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Always. The first time I had a contact was in 2010, because I went to New York and I loved the capoeira scene there. I just had came from Brazil, but when I get to New York, I even enjoy it even more there, because yeah. there was a lot of street roda, there was Mestre João Grande, yeah. there was a very good scene of capoeira regional, contemporary. Everybody, for me, it felt like people get along really well. So I loved it, and I was really curious about capoeira, how it is in the rest of the United States. So this was a great opportunity, because I came to Vegas, and I just knew about Capoeira Exchange. Then Professor Palhaçada that teaches in Vegas brought me to Capoeira Exchange, and it was really nice to meet everybody. But now I feel I want to come back for a batizado. Yeah, we discuss the girls together. Sometimes we discuss about the theme of now, the feminine. Now, no, it's not new, but the feminine events, or mm-hmm. how should we do it? Why are they being done? Who are the girls that are, you know, that you see teaching, or because many people, they are not in the media and they are doing amazing work, but you don't know about them, so it's always important yeah. to get together. And
also that's it's a very small world. I feel like it's a small world. Mm-hmm. I feel like girls are definitely increasing in population in terms of capoeira and becoming higher, and we have more instructoras, more profesoras being belted every single year.
Yeah.
But if you were to compare that to, like, say we wanted to make an event. Like, let's just say, like, you and I are going to make an event.
Yeah.
There's, like, a phone book of males. And I mean, Gata Brava said this in mm-hmm. my interview. She says there's, like, a phone book of males, and it's just, like, so big. But yeah. then when you go to females, it's just, like, so much more smaller.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, you know? Is because we don't know about them.
They're no, we there. Don't. I don't think we know about them.
It's a small world, but I think yeah. the girls, maybe they don't put themselves out there, you know, so much. Like, there's also something that my master was telling me, because I went to the events and I was always participating, but I was in the back, you know, many times. And he was like, Rita, it's okay, Senora, that you're humble. Fine, perfect. But you be aware that your humbleness might be confused as a weakness. So don't be impressed. Yeah. And then people will treat you like that. I was like, oh, this person, you know, I don't know, he didn't give me the space that I was wanting, or I was trying to speak with this person, and he just... Well, but if you don't put yourself in the front, you know, nobody's going to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, oh, you have to go in the front, put yourself in the front of the hall, do like this, don't clap your hands.
Yeah.
It's not that, but there's an intermedium where I feel that now I'm trying to move, whereas you, yeah, you don't want to be in the front, you don't need that, but then if all the girls do this, we don't know, let's see, who are the ones that are playing and singing, and because we don't see them. Because I saw the videos of Professora Minha Velha, and of course, as a woman, I was telling this to you yesterday. I really like to find inspiration in female capoeiristas and her way of singing, that she shares her experience as a capoeirista, as a mother. For me, I find that really inspirational, so I was really like, I want to know the group and everybody. So it will be great to be Saturday in the Roda. 17 to pay for my studies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, it's just, I start traveling as well by that age for events. And then in 2012, I moved to London because my master, he gave me that advice. That would be a nice experience for me just to move country and...
Yeah, ask you about this. How is the Capoeira energy in terms of the vibe between the United States and then Europe? Like, you've technically traveled the east and west of the United States. Do you think there's a different energy that the U.S. or a different something that maybe the U.S. brings in terms of Capoeira? Like, I realize that the struggles may not be the same as when Capoeira started of the struggles in Brazil. It's like we're learning the martial art, but is there maybe something different that... like we're doing to, as opposed to maybe like Europe or even Brazil isn't doing, or is it this, do you just feel the same in terms of like the energy?
The energy, yes, when it's good, it's good, when the music is good, and the students and the teachers are, everybody's in the same energy.
Like, do you think everything is like really represented well in the US? Like, does it feel different at all?
Well, I'm Portuguese, so I'm Brazilian.
Well, I mean,
I'm a son of a daughter of the master.
You're probably the first one that I've talked to where it's like, I've taken classes in Europe, I've, you know, London, I've taken classes in Portugal, and then I've been in the US for a while, you've gone to New York, and then now, like, you know, you learn in Vegas, and then you haven't learned here yet, but I mean, you've definitely, I feel like you've experienced the playing at the exchange. Does it feel different, like, going from different, like, school and, like, you know, different areas of the world?
But that's the beauty of Capoeira, isn't it? There's always an element that it's different. It's never the same energy. If I go to events, even if you go to the north of France or the south of France, or I've been to Angola, and it's different energy. In Angola, the kids, I don't know, they start already, they are dancing in Holland, and then, we're going to the holiday already singing and clapping. And if you go, I was in Ukraine. I was there the first time. Nobody would speak Portuguese. After 3 years, I went there. All the teachers were speaking already.
Oh, wow.
The people that were starting to teach, they were speaking Portuguese. They are very committed with... In London, maybe the students, they don't learn so fast English, but I see them really committed to help their teachers or their masters in the organization. In the United States, you get, I really get this friendly, that everybody's friend of each other. But when I was in Japan, I felt the same thing.
Yeah.
There was a group and everybody was... But yeah, you have a different feeling, and that it's so amazing that to get the opportunity that when you travel, there is a group there, I'm just and go and visit and see how it is, because it's the same, but different.
Yeah.
Below.
Yeah, but not necessarily, like, nothing's better than the other.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I'm... Now, even in London, I love to go, like, contemporary event, and then next month there is a street open roda where it's going to be purely Angola. Even if I don't go to play, I would love to go there, see the roda, listen to the music, see the games. you know, it's just try to keep being there. Because and there I started my experience on teaching. I didn't look for the classes for the disabled people. It just, it happened.
How did that start? Did you start just teaching normal classes, subbing for your teacher when you started being advanced? And then later on that opportunity came about?
Yes, well, first I started in another group in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And we had to do, when you start teaching, you had to teach 1 year of voluntary.
Oh, okay.
So you would cover for other teachers. Nice. Yeah, you would go and teach in a project. And then in about 2008, I keep training with my teacher. And my teacher, he left the school of Capoeira. And we were, for 1 year, we didn't have any Capoeira school. For me, it was also a nice experience. I went to travel to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
We were training together. And then we met Mestre Balu in an event. And we developed a really nice relationship and friendship. And he helped us giving direction. And in 2009, my teacher from Portugal, he went to teach in Angola,
mm-hmm.
in Luanda. So from there, I had to start being a little bit more independent, because my master was in Spain and I was in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next years, I would always, all the time that I can, I would go to Spain for 1 month, train there, bringing my master right. to Portugal. So I had to become really independent on my, most important, my own training, mm-hmm. than the teaching. And then, of course, I would also be teaching in some schools in Portugal, but in London, since 2012, since I'm instructor, I'm becoming more focused on teaching
mm-hmm.
now. And this was actually supposed to be dance classes, but then I tried capoeira for the disabled people and it worked much better. They respond really well to the music
mm-hmm.
and the rhythm. So it has been a really good experience.
So I want to talk to you. So last night we did the workshop and you gave examples of different drills and we loved it. I thought it was so much fun. But I noticed you were saying there were times where you taught, you gave examples and then you said this is to students that were deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you get that start? Like how did that come about?
So I was in London and I work as well as a dancer. And I heard that Royal Academy of Dance, they were doing auditions for a program they have that delivers schools in secondary, for dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to do an audition to teach dance. And then they say, oh, but you do capoeira. And I said, yeah, but I'm just monitora, so I don't know to go and start yeah. class. Like, oh, but it's here in your curriculum. Can you, in the audition, teach 20 minutes of capoeira? So I done it, and in the end, it was like, we don't want you to teach dance. We prefer you to teach capoeira, please. I was like, okay. Calling my master, calling the other teacher yeah. of my group, that she also works with more children and some disabled uh-huh. people. Oh my God, I need advice. I'm going to start teaching in schools, and it's yeah. a different culture. My English was not so good as well. So
where was this at? What program?
This is Royal Academy of Dance has a program with Jack Patche Foundation, which mm-hmm. is something to help schools that if they don't have funding, otherwise they wouldn't be able to have artistic
okay.
Classes in the mm-hmm. school. So they give money to this company to be able to have teachers teaching in the schools. But it's important that they have to be performers as well to inspire the students. So this is their idea, which I find really, it's good. So they want us to keep practicing and being artists, not only just, oh no, I'm teaching and I'm just teaching and
mm-hmm.
and that's it. So I had some training to start teaching disabled people, because I was like, oh, secondary school, it would be hard because I don't know the culture or mm-hmm. anything. But I started doing that, and then the second school they gave me more than 2 years ago, it's like, oh, you're going to teach in these schools, they're 10 to 14 years old, is going to start this day, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're deaf. And I was like, oh, so
what is that? Wait, what? I didn't hear that, oddly.
and they're deaf, but you have an interpreter there. It will be
You had a signer.
Yeah, I had a signer. So I got there, and all of the training that I had in the company, where they give us scarves and balls and methods of teaching. Mm-hmm. This is how you start, this is the middle, this is the end. I've got there and I think it's obsolete. I don't know how to use this in the practice with my capoeira, because these are people that are specialized in dance. Mm-hmm. And of course they are bridges. Yeah. But if you're going to, if I decide to teach capoeira, so it's capoeira. So in the beginning I was struggling a little bit. And then, again, I spoke with my master and I said, I'm using all of these props. I'm doing the structure they told me with capoeira. But sometimes I feel they are not really, really, really engaged. And he said, well, what is the most important thing in capoeira? It's the rhythm. Okay. Do you think even if you're not, if you didn't have your physical preparation that you have as a dancer, you would be able to do capoeira? Yeah. How old is Master João Grande? Does he do capoeira? Yeah. Okay. So start from there. Okay. It's simple. Don't complicate. Don't plan the next class you're going to teach. Oh, no, but I have to plan. I have to write my plan. Yeah. I need to give a report. Yeah. No. Get your berimbau. Sit. Play. See how the students come in the class and start from there. So I did that. It worked much better. So I always start the class with the music, which is something that should be, I should know that before, but well, with experience, I start doing that. Then I started with autistic children, then severe autism, then cerebral palsies, then trisomic. Those ones are doing performance already. Yeah. They're doing some shows. Now I have mixed classes, and for me it has been, I'm finding out capoeira again through them in the last 2 years. It has been, people say, oh, it must be really rewarding for you in the end of the day to be teaching those people because they really need it. So I was like, no, I need it so much more. And that has been the amazing thing for me, because when I arrived to London, I was like, oh, poor of me, I have nobody to train. My teacher, the teacher of my group, was quite far away from the center where I was living, so I could not travel to go and train with him. It's new, I don't know people, I don't have my family. And then when I got into the schools, I had to be full of joy to bring that into my class.
The energy.
Yes, I was saying hello to the teachers, like capoeira style, you know, hugging them. Hello, welcoming the students and being really... Because when you get to this school, sometimes you feel if they had a hard day, you know, everybody's trying to be in a good mood, but a hard day there, it's a hard day, you know, with the children. So I have to go there with all the joy and sing. And when I left the school, I would be happy, you know. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I was like, oh, it's a great day in London. I have nobody to train. And then when I left the class, I was like, oh, I'm so happy now. I like, you know, it was a good environment in class. And then I started learning that it's also, of course, it comes from me. And it doesn't come from me. It doesn't reach you. It doesn't matter how well I play berimbau. Doesn't matter if I do 3 backflips.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not passing something, because these kids, for example, the autistic kids that don't talk, they wouldn't say, I'm not enjoying my your class.
They can't.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's like
they would just, they can't. They
verbalize
leave.
Verbalize that.
Yeah, if I'm giving too much information, they won't say it. They would just leave. Mm-hmm. So it's a direct response to what I'm doing. It's really I feel it's a very honest work, because I have the reaction like straightforward in the moment. So for me it's really good learning to go step by step. And even we, that we have all the complete perception, we also sometimes need to like back off and go step by step.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel, oh, let's just do 2 animals together today for adults. I feel you won't have any other chance to do that, you know, outside a movement class or in a capoeira class,
because
we have all of these filters, you know. But it then
filters.
It is it's cliche also.
Like
to
you
say
mean
this.
How we edit ourselves, or like in terms of filters, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean even for capoeira, we're like, it's loose, it's a game. But then if you say, oh, now be the wind, you know, what? But you're a capoeirista, you're a movement. Capoeira is about the elements as well. It's in, if you're going to see the candomblé or the dance of orishas, or even, if your religion is not that part of it, you're just doing capoeira, but capoeira is about the nature and the movement. So you should be, doing the wind, and move. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
And because I needed to, with the disabled students, go from a place where they know. I cannot say, go and do galopanchi. Mm-hmm. What is galopanchi? What is this that you're making me do? I cannot do that with my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go, you know, how is the wind? And you can be sitting, and with your eyes, even if you don't move, the wind goes from one side to the other side and goes up. And now you can also do it with the other parts of your body. And then you found, oh yeah, I can do the wind with my arm. And what do you do if the wind is too close to you and there's a tree? Oh, you need to go down. And if if there's fire, oh, you need to jump and go from different places to teach the same without saying, oh, this is a queixada. And I can do really well a queixada. And I know how many steps. And I can do all the height of queixada. Well, you know, if you have to teach from, if you have to sit and teach, what are you going to do? Or if the person doesn't have the same understanding, how would you change?
Yeah.
So now that's why I'm trying to make that sense with people that have all the sense, because now it makes more sense for me to break it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, start from nowhere. So for me, that was a bit of what I was trying to do in a class. It's the play, the game, the look at each other. For me, I forgot that a lot. I was speaking with Professor Palhaçada and he was like, oh, I liked some games you did in Capoeira Exchange, but I know you were looking at the floor a lot, to the feet. At some point, I was like, oh, you're right. And I'm always teaching people, oh, you have to look in the eyes, but then yourself, you forget. So it's good if you're going to teach.
I did that, yeah. I actually got a minor concussion on that
really?
Day. I got kicked in the eye.
Oh.
I got myeloid in the eye, and I just didn't feel right for the rest of the day. I got checked out really? After the exchange. I wanted to play, and then I got checked out, and then they just gave me some medicine. But no, it's super important.
Yeah, the day after, I was like, oh, yeah. I need, oh. It's fine, yeah. Minor concussion, it's okay.
Yeah, it's minor. You definitely made an impression at the exchange. It's funny because, I mean, everybody was wearing, like, whatever they wanted. But it's like, everybody knew that, like, everybody saw you and were like, we don't know who that girl is.
I was just so happy of being there. I was like, yeah, I want to play. Oh, this is the person I saw in the video. Oh, this is the person I saw in the video. Okay.
No, you were getting it. I mean, I was looking at everybody just getting a game. It was a really fun event. I had so much fun at that event. Played a ton of games, too. It was probably, like, the most time I played at an event, and I didn't even think I was going to get that many games, but I just, like, the energy was really high, but I remember there were just times where I saw you getting in there, and lots of people were like, oh, who is she, and I said, I don't know.
No, it's because seems I felt fun. That's the good ambience. Who else? When I was visiting Mestre João Grande, and also he was telling me, oh, Senhora, you do well, you go to the roda outside, but first you need to watch, see what's going on, and then if you find good people to play, you play, even if it's beginners. If you don't find good people to play, you don't play. But this is just my advice. I was like, yeah, my master said this now, Mestre João Grande. I think definitely it's a good advice.
Yeah.
When I got to Capoeira Exchange, I was looking at the people, and everybody was like the same energy. It was different groups, but you can see it's a nice environment, good energy. So I felt comfortable of, even if I was kind of alone in the roda, that I could, you know, be comfortable and go in the roda, play berimbau. Because that's it, that's the ambience is the most important, isn't it? Doesn't matter even the level, the level of the people, but if there is good people to take the roda, take the rhythm, then and everybody's in the same ambience, it's just amazing. But yeah, but... Oh.
So I actually don't know you.
Like, oh, thank you. We are here, sitting in the same room.
I am. Yesterday,
you cooked my lunch. You know it. Thank you.
That's just today.
That
this is great. Friday. But I picked you up the day before from the airport, and then even then, I only met you maybe a few minutes at the exchange in January. And then, how did you come to the exchange? Because it's a pretty interesting story of how you came to the exchange. I think you now, and then now, you're teaching workshops. Here in Pasadena.
How amazing. I'm looking forward for the class, for having a train with Contramestre Muito Tempo. So, yeah, this is a bit like the effect butterfly, because I was like, oh, this is all natural.
Butterfly.
butterfly effect.
This is going to be edited.
Okay, great.
The Ashton Kutcher movie. 10 years ago. That Ashton Kutcher movie 10 years ago.
Exactly. Because this started with a little thing that it's me on YouTube or Facebook, like, oh, Capoeira, United States, events, and then I got to this event of Capoeira Batuque, and I saw Professor Minha Velha, I was like, oh wow, let me see more. And then I started seeing the things on Facebook, and I found it really interesting, the Capoeira Challenge, which was about environmental causes.
Mm-hmm.
And then her history, her journey about being pregnant, being a mother, keep mm-hmm. doing it capoeira, keep teaching. So I was following this. Then I saw about Contra Mestre Muito Tempo, the shows. Oh my God, amazing capoeira shows mm-hmm. and training and videos. So I would love to meet these people. And also for me, Professora Minha Velha, when I listen to her singing, I have to be honest, I don't like to hear female capoeiristas singing in the hub. I'm sorry.
We had this discussion too. Is it because females tend to come off sharp? What do you think it is? Do you think it's too feminine? Like they're singing in a CD or like they're singing like in a concert or something?
It's just a feeling that I have that sometimes
really?
It might break the energy.
The energy.
I think it's the
okay.
energy. It's not the way we
like,
sing.
It's not the tone.
It's just the time. I think sometimes the energy is not. And when I listened to Professora Minha Velha, I was like, oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
I would love to hear her. How is her voice? Because it was also the energy. And you see that it's a person that knows a lot about music.
Her voice swells and I don't know.
And there's
you,
a
like,
connection with
it.
The instrument,
yeah.
voice,
yes,
and instrument. So that really inspired me. And I was like, oh, how it would be amazing to meet them. So then I got to travel to Vegas because I have my boyfriend's living there. But I was, oh, Vegas is so far away from LA. It's not going to happen. I will not be able to go there. And then I saw about capoeira exchange, and I was really excited about it. And I know a capoeirista in Las Vegas. He's in Cirque as well, Professor Palhaçada. And I was asking, oh, by the way, are you interested in going to the event? I said, oh, I would love to go to Capoeira Exchange. It's amazing there. People are amazing. But I just traveled from LA, and this would be on the day after. So it's very hard that I'm going to do like tomorrow again. So I'm like, oh, my God, I would love so much to do this. And then in the night, he just sent me a text. Senora, I'm going 7 o'clock in the morning. Are you going? Like, yeah. And there we go, going to LA. And I was there in the middle of everybody that I was just checking, you know, the videos.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to meet everybody personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then Contramestre Muito Tempo was really nice. And I really appreciate his gesture of bringing me here to know everybody, to be in the hall on Saturday and to teach a workshop. It's absolutely amazing. And now I see where it comes from, what I see in the videos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's this, yeah, you see there's a good all-around, practice of music and
mm-hmm.
capoeira and the history and the culture, and you really feel this when you get here. And I find it amazing, because when I started capoeira, I was imagining, oh, everything is Brazil, and
mm-hmm.
it is, of course. Well, you have to go there, you have to know the places
yeah.
and the masters
where
and the culture.
Where it came from and the energy
know
there.
Know the language. But it's so good when you also, in other places of the world, you go there and you say, oh, the same or the same energy or different, but even better, you know. When I moved to London, I had all the, which now I knew it was excuses for not to be practicing so much capoeira. And
what were the excuses?
I was working a lot.
Yeah.
I say, oh, it's always too far or too close or too expensive.
It's a common problem.
Yeah, but now, and then I was sad and I didn't knew
she couldn't.
Why. And then I realized, well, maybe there's a way that, well, what my master told me was you can have your own reasons. Of course, you're not practicing and you know how is your life. No, but you have to take care of capoeira. It's not about me. It's not about the group. It's not about you. But take care of capoeira, because until now it has been taking care really well of you.
Yeah.
So what can you do? You know, to keep taking care of capoeira. It's like, oh, but what do you mean? I don't mean anything. It is what it is. Take care of your capoeira. If you feel like that, maybe you should be training, even if it is by yourself, because you have been training so much before
yeah.
and now you stop. What is. And then I started, and he was like, okay, I will send you a video. And he said a video, and he put a chair in his room. He said, this is a chair. This is not new. You
yeah.
can see more of it, but I will show you a training that you can do with a chair. Okay, you have a chair in your house? Yeah, you have a room?
Yeah,
so you can train somewhere. he didn't want to be pushing, you know?
It's so hard.
So,
you definitely have to keep very self-motivated about training by yourself. There
mm-hmm.
there are times where I can't get into the studio. It could be raining. Like, you know, it's like too dangerous to drive, but I'll go to the gym nearby and put up like a foam roller, and I'll kick around it. I'll do like timed intervals with rest in between and just move, 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 move. And it's good. I mean, it's definitely not the same as having partners or having the Mestre there, but there's always stuff to work on. Yeah.
Like the video of Contramestre with the tempo that he's like training alone, but you're thinking about how you're going to apply it, and then when you have the chance, you go to a hall and you try to apply when you train by yourself. So for me, this was good practice to start training alone, and that that helped me when I start teaching also again other people in London. I was already there. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go to the past and, oh, how was I training? No, it was somehow I'm doing it. Just even if you're training alone, you have it on your body, you're listening to the music that's on your mind, and then you can transmit that to other people.
All right, and that was our episode for this month. Don't forget to like our page on Facebook, drop us a line, let us know what you think, maybe leave a review on our iTunes page, and we will see you later.